Please be seated. Once again, good morning and a warm welcome to our campaign service. For our short reflection this morning, please turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 5. Verse 1. When all the kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of Canaanite by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts failed. There was no longer any spirit in them because of the Israelites. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning, O Lord. We thank you for adding one more day into our life and giving us this privilege to come to your holy sanctuary to worship you, O Lord. This morning, Father, as we meditate on your word, we ask you to speak to our hearts and empower us with the power of your word and inspire our hearts with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. The book of Joshua is one of the familiar books in the Old Testament, which gives us a beautiful narration of Joshua's leadership, leading the Israelites to the Canaan, the promised land. Joshua, the man chosen by God to be the successor of Moses after his death, to lead the Israelites to the promised land, to the Canaan. The chapter 3, we see the first challenge he had to face was the River Jordan. And God miraculously dried up the River Jordan so that the people could cross over. When we come to chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, now the whole Israel camp, they have arrived at Gilgal. They have encamped at Gilgal. Gilgal is hardly 5 to 6 kilometers away from the promised land, Canaan, and just 2 kilometers away from Jericho. And the total straight line distance from Egypt to the Canaan is something around 8,482 kilometers. And it is calculated that a man could walk 15 to 20 kilometers per day. And if so, the Israelites could have reached Canaan, the promised land, in about 420 to 30 days. But the Bible says they took 40 years, long 40 years, to reach the promised land, Canaan. Why? The reason is clearly given in the scripture, verse 6. For the Israelites traveled for 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the warriors who came out of Egypt, perished, not having listened to the voice of the Lord. To them the Lord swore that he would not let them see the land that he had sworn to their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. This was the reason, because of their disobedience against God, they had to travel 40 years in the wilderness. And now they are at Gilgal, so close to the promised land. So the disobedience of a small group of people adversely affect the whole nation. And some of them were perished in the wilderness itself because of their disobedience and murmuring against God. Here at Gilgal, there are two important things happening, as it was just mentioned by Margaret before her reading. The first one, it is the circumcision. The circumcision for the second time. And those who came out of Egypt had been circumcised. But all who had been born during the wilderness period they have not had circumcised. So God asked Joshua to circumcise the people to enter into the eternal covenant with the Yahweh. Verse 2 says, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites a second time. So Joshua circumcised the second generation who born in the wilderness life, and they also entered into the eternal covenant with the Lord. And the second one was the Passover, celebration of the Passover. Verse 10, while the Israelites were encamped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. So first one was the circumcision, and the second thing, they celebrated Passover in Gilgal. And this was their fourth Passover celebration since they left Egypt. The first was in Egypt itself. In Exodus chapter 12, there we read the night why the death angel killed the firstborns of Egypt. It was the day of the Passover, the first Passover. Then the second one was in Sinai, book of Numbers chapter 9, 1 to 15. And third one was in Kadesh Barnea, where the Israelites stayed for around 38 years during their wilderness life. And now here in Gilgal, in fourth one, in the Jericho plains of Gilgal. As I already told, Jericho is just 2 kilometers away from Gilgal. So the whole Israel, they encamped in Gilgal. They are in a very festive mood. They are in a celebrative mood because of two reasons. The first reason, their new generation is already circumcised and they have entered into the Mosaic covenant with the Lord. Now they are eligible to inherit the promised land. So they are very happy. The covenant relationship with the God was restored again. So the Israel camp was very happy. And the second thing, after many, many years, now they could cook their food with the produce of the land. Till that day, they were fed by God with manna, and here on, they have their own food. So they are very happy. They are in very festive mood. Verse 11 and 12 says, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day. They ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. And moreover, they are very happy because now they are close to the promised land. So close to the promised land, the land promised to their ancestors, the land with milk and honey. So they are in a very festive mood. Everyone is in excitement to go to the promised land. In Israel, if you look into the Israel's camp, the children are playing around, making loud noise. The women are busy with cooking food and for preparation for the next journey. The men are circled in groups. They are in heated discussion on the settlement plans in Canaan. So the whole camp is in a jubilant mood in Gilgal. But away from the Israel camp, by the side of the way to Jericho, was their leader, Joshua, sitting all alone. He was away from the camp. And Joshua, sitting all alone, his face looks anxious and worried and tensed. Why? When the whole Israel camp is celebrating, their leader, Joshua, is sitting alone far near to the way to Jericho. Looks so worried and anxious because of the vision of the wall of Jericho. the huge tall wall of Jericho is a matter of Joshua's worry. He found yet another hindrance in their journey to the promised land. A new challenge in leading God's people to the promised land, the huge Jericho wall. The wall of Jericho was built somewhere around 8000 BC. It is 13 feet high, very strong wall. It was built with the intention to protect the settlement, the Jericho settlement, from the human intruders. A very strong wall. And to enter into the promised land, the Israelites has to go through the Jericho. And now it seems very impossible to cross over the Jericho. That's why Joshua sits all alone with a troubled heart. But back in the camp, the people doesn't know that they need to conquer Jericho to invade their promised land. They are in great celebration. But Joshua knows the intensity of the new challenge. And I think, and I believe, he might have cried before the Lord. He might have prayed bitterly before God, seeing this wall of Jericho. He might ask something like the Lord God, how can I ask the people to move ahead after a few days? The wall of Jericho is strong and tall. We have no weapon in our hands. And the young generation with me, they have no experience in fighting a battle. And how can I take this message back to the tent where the celebration is on? How can I tell my people it is impossible for us to cross over the Jericho because of the wall? Surely they will revolt against us, against me. They will murmur against me and you as they did before with the Moses. Lord, I have no idea how to lead these people because of this huge Jericho wall stands tall and strong before me. I am exhausted, Lord. He might have prayed and cried something like that. I believe being a leader, the whole responsibility is upon his shoulder. And we know the Israel people. If anything happens against their will, they will start it off. They will murmur against even God. Exactly they did with Moses. That's why Joshua, the leader, sitting all alone, far away from the crowd, far away from the celebration. Have you ever gone through such tough situations in your life? Have you ever sat alone with deep anguish and disappointments when others around you were celebrating and making merry? And responding to others, I'm fine, all good. Even when actually you are filled with deep pain. Some of you did, and some of us may be going through such situations. Everyone is celebrating around, and this man sitting alone. And when we read further the text, suddenly Joshua had a very strange vision. Verse 13, he looked up and saw a man standing before him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you one of us or one of our adversaries?" It was a strange vision for Joshua, meeting a man first time, a strange man. And out of his anguish, disappointments, he's asking, "Are you one of us? Are you the enemy?" Then the reply comes, verse 14. He replied, "Neither. But as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I'm not from your camp or not from the enemy camp. I have come as a commander of the army of the Lord." He was sent by the Lord Almighty. He was sent to Joshua to help him, to comfort him, to stand with him, because the Lord heard Joshua's desperate groaning deep from his heart. And God saw him sitting all alone on the way to Jericho, away from his people, with distress and pain. And here God sends the archangel Michael, Mikhail, the commander of the army of God. And he stands before Joshua and saying that, "Neither, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have come." This is a promise of God. God remembered Joshua. God remembered his promise to Joshua. In chapter 1, verse 5, there we read, God gave him a promise when he was appointed as the successor of Moses. God said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put these people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them." So here, God remembered his promise with Joshua. And when he saw Joshua sitting all alone, away from the crowd, with a lot of pain, anguish, and disappointments, he sends his angel to comfort him, to guard him, to save him, to rescue him. This is assurance of the word of God for you and me this morning. Now, while I was reading through this text, I was really, really encouraged. We have a God who will send his angels to comfort us in the time of our deep troubles, trials, and temptations. He will never let you go down. So if you feel loneliness in your life, if you are in anguish, if you are in disappointments, let me assure you that we have a God. He will send his angels to comfort us. And here stands the archangel Michael and saying that, "I have come to rescue you, Joshua." The Bible says, psalmist says in Psalm 91, verse 11 and 2, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." That's the promise of God. We need to hold on to this promise when we go through the dark days of life, tough times of life. And here in Gilgal, the leader Joshua, sitting all alone, far away from his people, on the way to Jericho, seeing the huge wall, Jericho standing before him as a strong hindrance for his further journey. And God sends his angel to comfort him. That's assurance we have this morning. Don't lose your heart. Don't give up. God knows every thought of your hearts. And when we read further, chapter 6 gives a detailed description on the destruction of the Jericho wall in a miraculous way. God asked the people of Israel to march around the wall for 7 days. I know you know all the stories. I don't want to explain all those things. 6 days, they marched silently. And on the 7th day, when the trumpet was blown, Joshua asked the people to shout. When the people shouted, the huge wall collapsed. Can you believe that? It's unimaginable. It's beyond human comprehension. The strong, huge wall collapsed within a fraction of seconds when the people shout. And I personally believe, it is my personal belief that it is the angel Michael and his army destroyed the Jericho wall. That's what I believe. So, dear friends, we won't understand the way God works in our life. His ways are different from our ways. So only we need to trust in him. Hold on to his promises. Even when everything looks different, everything looks so hard, we need to continue to cling on to him. Hold on to him. When everyone says it's impossible, when the whole world says it's impossible, we need to hold on to him. Cling on to his promises, saying that, Lord, you are the faithful one. When we do that, we will see wonders happening, like the wall of Jericho collapsed. And God kept his word with Abraham. And the Israel forefathers, the Israelites, had a peaceful settlement in Canaan. And Joshua was a successful leader. What a wonderful story we have in the Bible. Neither, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. God will send his angels to guard us, to save us. Trust in him, believe in him, and continue your spiritual journey with renewed strength and spirit. Amen.